into the book of Romans chapter 1, please. It is not a thought that we dwell on as a rule. But your God and my God is a God who gives up. He gives up. Before I go there, let me remind you of these things that, these points of a semblance of an outline that I gave you last week. Out of Romans chapter 1, the glory that was denied by all. And today we begin with the second segment, the gall illustrated by it all. And then probably able to take the time that we have available and address the giving up of all, the giving up, considering the gall of it. It is said here in the book of Romans that they changed the glory of God into an image made like man, like birds and beasts, creeping things. You would understand that the creeping things would fit right in light of the fact where the creeping thing first appeared, that being in the book of Genesis. So if we understand that and we stretch that out to its extreme, they changed the glory into an image like unto Satan himself when he appeared to man in the garden, a serpent. That is a colossal insult to God. They changed their glory into the similitude of an ox. Now, I find that to be a little bit humorous. You have heard it said to other people, no doubt. You're as dumb as an ox, you know. So they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox, that which is corruptible and perishable. Jeremiah, in his great prophecy, said, "My people, the Jews, have changed their glory for that which does not profit." It is significant that the pagan world would be enmeshed in that kind of gall. But for the Jew who had in hand portions of the revelation of God and who by experience had seen the wonder working of God, to change their glory is a high insult. I want you to keep your place in Romans 1 just for a second and go back into the book of Ezekiel, the 8th chapter. Chapter 8 of the book of Ezekiel. And I come, if you would please, to the 10th verse. Here's a vision by the prophet. And I'd like to back up and read to the 7th verse. "He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. Then said he unto me, Son of man, dig now in the wall. And when I had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And he said unto me, Go in and behold the wicked abominations that they do there. So I went in and saw. And behold, every form of creeping things and abominable beasts and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about." There's gall, where the artwork of the people of God reflected the lust of their heart. You know, it is said that when you enter a person's home, it doesn't take long by looking at what they have as their decor. Can tell a number of things about folks. But imagine walking into a person's house who names the name of Christ and you see hideous artwork on their walls or laying on their tables. What would you suspect? Is there a love or an affinity for that kind of thing? Well, when we think about the gall of this artwork reflected in their imaging, they were either carved therein or printed on. We come again back to the New Testament and we link Romans chapter 1 verse 23 where it says they changed the glory of the incorruptible God to an image made like to corruptible man. And we are counseled in the book of Acts that we are the offspring of God. We ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone graven by the artist. And so then please notice what happens next. In verse 24, this is the scripture. This is not man-made invention. It is not my interpretation. I just leave it here. Verse 24 says, in light of all of that, that gall and the glory being denied, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 24 says, God gave them up. He let them go their own way. Like we said before, men will behave as they believe. He let them go their own way to the lust of their own hearts. Those dead in sin, they long for their autonomy, the establishment of their own little kingdoms where uncleanness and immorality abide and it tends to devolve so as to dishonor or shame the body. I'm reminded of the counsel that we read in 1 Corinthians that every sin that a man doeth, he sins when he does it, when he commits immorality, he sins against his own body. We also come to verse number 26, read there. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, shameful, sinful passions. Physical immorality is usually linked to spiritual insubordination. Link that, please, to immorality, to insubordination. There's a link there. Worse, in verse 25, we read that they changed the truth of God into a lie. God had created man in His own image to do His will. God created man and woman for specific and blessed purposes. And what was that that we read in Genesis chapter 1? He tells His purposes stay in Genesis 1, be fruitful and multiply. They changed that truth into a lie by substituting their desire for autonomy in total opposition to God's will. In changing the truth, it is said that they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. Their desire was to please the creature instead of pleasing God. Please notice the specifics. In verse number 24, where it says, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. Exactly what does the scripture mean by that? Verse 25 is rather clear. We come over to verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or appropriate. Now, God's will is clearly expressed concerning this matter. I do not know what the confusion is in contemporary society. I don't understand. In the book of Leviticus, for example, the 18th chapter, verse number 22, if you're keeping record. Leviticus 18:22. In part, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. Delicately stated. And the reason it is stated that way, because it is abomination, or we would understand it's disgusting. Now, in spite of the word, the psalmist says they walked in their own counsels. People in past generations, as people today, it makes no difference what God says. Not a bit. So even in the book of Psalms, oh, by the way, if you're wondering about the God who gives up, let me retreat, take you down a couple of rabbit trails. Number one, you look in the book of Genesis. God gave up on a whole society and He judged the world with the flood. He gave up on the world. And why? Well, Genesis chapter 6, right in the first few verses of that chapter, his observation of men was that they had run amok, and I'm using a paraphrase, my own. And he gave them up after the flood. After the flood. You're still in the book of Genesis? He gave up on Sodom and Gomorrah and the people who lived in those cities. For what reason, I might add? For the same thing that we're talking about here. And you know what? In mercy, yet God sent a messenger that there might be some even there in that wicked, corrupt, and disgusting society who would repent. But there were none who repented in Noah's day. There would be none who repented in Abraham's day. God gave up on the nation of Israel when, in spite of all of his elaborate expressions and determination of his wishes concerning the Sabbath, they chose to violate it. God gave them up, those particular generations, to their captors and hauled them into captivity. And today, my dear friends, Israel suffers as Israel does, and the world suffers along with it because of what Israel did to this present day, because they are still alienated from the true God of heaven and earth. You say, well, God didn't give up on Israel. No, he did not give up on his covenant people, but he gave up on the generations that preceded. The individuals. You say, well, what about the church? Will God ever give up on the church? Yes, he will. That's pretty clear in the book of Revelation. How many times does he repeatedly warn those seven churches in Asia, repent or else? And what is it that the doctrine of the rapture says if it doesn't say anything else? It is said that God has given up on the visible church and leaves them behind on planet earth and takes the true believers to heaven. He give up on them. They apostatize beyond repair. So I come back from the rabbit trail and I say to you this much, that God gave them, his own people, up to their own heart's lust. God's will is very explicit. In the New Testament, he tells the Christian community these words. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. He tells the Thessalonian church. Hold on one second. Let me get a little swell here. The Thessalonian church. Chapter 4, verse 4. Everyone, he says, of you should know how to possess your vessel, your body, in sanctification and honor. The post-mortem exam shows that in spite of what God wills and that which he has clearly articulated, men dead in sin change the truth of God. So then in spite of God, verse 26 says, women change the natural use, which is against nature, and gave them up to vile affections or disgraceful affections. So you go from disgusting to disgraceful, and all that stemming from depravity. Verse 27, likewise also the men with men, translated the word unseemly there in verse number 27, working men with men working that which is unseemly, translated elsewhere in the New Testament, I think on one occasion, Romans chapter 16, verse 15, is the word shame. What do you mean by shame? What do you mean by shame? A knock comes to your door at home. And you look all around, you don't know what to do, but it sounds urgent. So you run to the door. You open wide the door, and there you are standing in your birthday suit. You had forgotten in the heat of the moment that you were not completed being dressed. And so there you are standing, exposed to whoever came to the door. And quick, you shut that door. Why do you do that? The same reason that Adam and Eve constructed some clothing to cover their what? Their shame. Our problem in this society is that there is no shame. And God help the person who points it out. Never for the life of me could figure out why that phenomenon exists. And if somebody with the technology that we have today with their little cameras takes a little picture of that and posts it, the person becomes irate. How is it that a person can become irate with nothing on in public, in a public mall, for example, and all of a sudden it appears on the internet? Who are you kidding? Sin has its consequences, and for those who change the truth, received in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And as oftentimes occurs with the illicit hetero or homosexual immorality and their practices, disease. Article this week, in a certain age group in teenagers, sexually transmitted disease is an all-time high. Venereal disease, gonorrhea, and the like. Why? Well, the kids are just being kids, the psychologists say. They're doing what comes natural, and that's just the problem. But here the scripture says that the diseases come as what we find receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was appropriate. We know that elsewhere in the scriptures, in Galatians chapter 6, for example, that you reap what you sow, quite literally. A reprobate mind, a fixed and degenerate mindset also follows on that. To which in verse 28, we see again, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, what did God do? He gave them over to a reprobate mind. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, in their mind, so then follows a pursuit of a devolving lifestyle, doing those things which are not convenient. Literally, those things that are unbecoming of one created in God's image for God's purpose. The devolution is enumerated in verses 29 to 31. Let me read these to you. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, quarrelsomeness, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. We'll skip this next one because it doesn't apply. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. What did I skip? Disobedient to parents. Say, well, now that there doesn't seem to quite qualify with the rest of this stuff. It's sort of like a duck out of water. Whispering in my ear, always ahead of me, one step. The devolution is enumerated in those verses. Cast as unrighteousness. Comprehensively so. All unrighteousness, which brings us to our concluding point this morning. It is, and it points up to the guilt of all, without exception. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 3, verse 19, what do we see? Because this isn't what you read here is extended over and covers chapter 2 into the end of chapter 3, the 19th verse. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty. There will come a time when God will give up on the world. There'll come a time when God will give up on the world. And He will refashion it. He will repeople it. And frankly, I'm looking forward to the day when our God, our Lord, our King comes to rule and reign on this planet. And all of the stuff we fuss up about now will be not an issue anymore. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth that we've just read. It does not do our hearts good to know that You have, because of man's sin, given up on them. How thankful we are to know that yet the gospel, as it goes forward, in all of its accuracy and clarity and all of its power, will yet bring sinners to their knees, will yet bring about a humbling of the heart and a repentant spirit and a craving for Jesus Christ, that people may enter in by faith, receive the forgiveness of sins, be saved, saved, saved. Thank You for that truth. Thank You, dear Heavenly Father, for the ongoing work of the Spirit of God yet in this age that brings men in providential order to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. Help us, Lord, to be faithful messengers of that truth, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.